a little too early to say, but Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm very excited about tomorrow. Because it's the 1st of January. That means I get a fresh new toothbrush. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm pretty rough on toothbrushes. I don't just get one a year. Don't. Jess replaces them every 2 months. It just so happens that tomorrow is our next 2 month cycle. And so, you know, we're like last week, I was like, when are we getting new toothbrushes? She said, it's the 1st of the month. It's coming. Don't worry. And so my toothbrush is all. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. Enjoy the little things, right? But you know what I'm more excited about? I'm more excited about where we're headed in 2024. I'm very excited about the preaching lineup for 2024. And I will share more about that in just a few minutes because I'm just so excited. I just want to jump right in. Our first 11 sermons that will take us up to March, which would be super close to Easter, are outlined from Hebrews 11. So it's 11 sermons from Hebrews chapter 11. And we'll just jump right in. I'll tell you why here in just a few minutes. So Hebrews chapter 11 starts off. He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendations. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things that are, was not made out of things that are visible. Here's our first person mentioned in Hebrews 11. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So Abel is the first in this list of men and women of faith. And Abel's story is easy enough to review. It's not a huge chunk of Genesis. It's small enough. We can just go there and review it and get our memories refreshed on the story of Abel. It's back in Genesis chapter 4. It says, now Adam knew Eve. I hope he did. Adam knew Eve. That's, I think, in the biblical sense of knowing Eve. And his she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, because he was a gardener. And Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So as we finish up 2023 and we look forward to 2024, we're going to be zooming in this morning and talking about Abel's more acceptable sacrifice and how we can be challenged and inspired by his act of faith, an act of faith that got him a place, the first place there chronologically, in the famous Hebrews chapter 11. So before we really start digging, I want to make an observation that'll shape how we view this whole passage. And that is that we have different resources. We can go on and write this down. We have different resources, but the same ability to choose the more acceptable sacrifice. We have different resources, but we all have the same ability. Abel was a keeper of the sheep. He was a shepherd. So he brought a sacrifice from what he had, from his resources that he had available to him. Cain worked the fields. He was a gardener. So he had brought a sacrifice, an offering out of the resources that he had available to him. Both brothers had the same ability to bring a more acceptable sacrifice, but we know that one did and one did not. jump right into it this morning. What brother are you? What brother do you want to be in 2024? We might say that we're able. We want to say that we're able. But as we dig a little more into this, we might discover that we are less like Abel and more like Cain in the way that we offer and give and sacrifice to the Lord. Abel brought the more acceptable sacrifice because he brought the firstborn and the fat portions of his offering. Cain just brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. It's not specified that his was out of the best. It was just an offering. It wasn't specified that it was the first of his harvest, just an offering. Let's look back at those verses. Verse 3, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering, an offering. Doesn't say that Cain brought the best. Doesn't say that Cain brought the first. Just an offering. I think if it were important to make sure that we saw that these two were equal offerings, God would have recorded that for us. Because he did with Abel, did he not? And Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock. Not just an offering, the firstborn. And their fat portions, the best. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. They both had the same ability to bring an acceptable sacrifice, but only one did. So I want to ask you, do you want to just bring an offering? Because that can be deceptive. You can think, well, I'm giving an offering. I'm making a sacrifice in my life. Was it an offering or is it the best you got? Is it your firstborn? And that seems like a very thin line of difference to make, that we're splitting hairs. But when we look at the text, it seems like it was very important to God. God honored one and did not honor the other. So I think we should take note of that. Which brother are you going to be in 2024? Who do we want to see in the mirror in January 1st of 2024? Do we want to look in the mirror and see the face of Cain? Or do we want to look in the mirror and see the face of Abel? And yes, that's a loaded question. Straight out of text, though. Who do we want to be more like? If we're going to be men and women of faith, then we would do well to follow the example of this cloud of witnesses, as the Hebrews writer refers to chapter 11 and chapter 12. In 2024, we're going to be talking about the whole year. We're just going to be talking about standing out. Standing out. Acting like people who have been set aside. That's what sanctified means, to be set aside for God. Acting like people who have been made holy because God's Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That changes how we act. That changes our choices. People who have been sanctified, justified by the very blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Not just a name, but our Lord, our King, acting like men and women of faith. So, to kick off a whole year talking about this, it just made sense to go to the Hall of Faith, as it's sometimes referenced. Hebrews chapter 11, where the Hebrews writer lists, here are men and women who lived by faith, and here's why. He doesn't just say they lived by faith. He gives us a why. He says, here's why this person, here's why this person, here's why this person. They lived by faith, and it was credited to them as righteousness because they did this. And so we're going to take in 11 weeks, and we're going to be looking at these, and we're going to be looking at the foundational footprints of faith. So it's kind of funny. Ryan said something at the very beginning. I thought, that's kind of funny. A little foreshadowing. Let's start off on the right foot. That's what he said. And I thought, that kind of fits in with the series here. Foundational footprints of faith. And our goal is to turn it up, even at the very beginning of the year, to step up, to continue to fulfill our mission statement here as Miami Town Church of Christ, to grow in God. grow in God doesn't mean that you plateau, that you hit a spot and you're like, okay, I made it, I'm done, I'm good. And we chose the ING version, investing in people, growing in God, investing in people. And we want to do that more and more and more. Growing God, invest in people. No, we did not do that, ING, did we? I'm doing that today. So as we reflect on Abel's faith, let's ask a question this morning. Already asked, but let's write it down. What is the more acceptable? What is the more acceptable sacrifice that I can make this year? What is the more acceptable? That's what Abel is commended for in Hebrews chapter 11, and he made the more acceptable sacrifice. We're going to look at three questions that will help us to define what a more acceptable sacrifice looks like. And to make this easy, the first two actually go together. They're just kind of a joint 1-2. So one, what's the best I can offer in 2024? What's the best I can offer? I think I fit the other one on the same screen. What are the first fruits? Did that? Yes, good job. What are the first fruits of my resources? Those go hand in hand. Your best, your first fruits. We've talked about the understanding of first fruits many times here, but it's always a subject worth reviewing. Because it's a biblical concept that is so very important for men and women who are wanting to live by faith, who are wanting to do what God has asked us to do, to please God. After the Israelites were rescued from slavery in Egypt, God was forming them into a great nation, a chosen people. God instructed at the Feast of Harvest that they should bring the first fruits of their labor, that they should bring their best. This is in Exodus chapter 23, verse 19. It says, the best of the first fruits. So he uses both words there. The best of the first fruits of your ground shall you bring into the house of the Lord. Now, ironically, today, this goes hand in hand with our text because this is not an animal sacrifice that's being described, is it? This is the very sacrifice that Cain fell short of giving. It's a harvest sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of the fruit of the field, the sacrifices of a gardener, the brother who worked of the land. And so we see here just that Cain wasn't at a disadvantage because he wasn't bringing an animal. He could have brought the best, the first fruits, and it would have been an acceptable sacrifice. This first fruits concept started, God started as he was defining a nation of people who would be his chosen people. And this first fruit concept, it spills over into the idea of a tithe. To give off the top, to give the first 10%, and that offer to that to God. We see the first fruits show up again in Proverbs chapter 3. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. Proverbs was written in about the 900s BC. So we recognize here in 900 BC, verbally, as the Proverbs, the writer recognizes in his wisdom that God recognizes and honors those who honor him with the first fruits of their offering. Even though that word was not used, it was first born. Way back here in like 3800 BC, Abel gives the first fruits or the firstborn. And we see immediately, the very beginning of the Bible, God honors that. He looked favorably on Abel's sacrifice. And we move up to 950-ish BC. And, move from 3800 to about 1500, where God instructs them in Exodus. Here's what you're supposed to do. You give the best, you give the first fruits as your offering. Then up to 950-ish in Proverbs, the Proverbs writer says, God's going to honor these first fruits. Is it still? Nope. Can you pull that? Thank you very much. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with all the first fruits of your produce, and then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. And then this is connected to the tithe offering, 10%, way up into about 430-ish BC, where God himself speaks through the mouth of Malachi, and he shares, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour for you, or open the heavens, new translation, I'm used to the old one. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. So it spans the Old Testament. As we see this concept of giving your best, giving your first fruits, and then God will honor that. We see it in 3900 BC. God instructs them in 14, 1500 BC. The Proverbs writer in 950-ish says, you do this, God's going to honor it. Your vats are going to be full. And then 430-ish, in the very last book, so the very first book in the Old Testament, chapter 4, in the very last book in the Old Testament, Malachi, the same message. You honor God with your first fruits, with your best, and he will honor that. So as we set our personal budgets for 2024, let me remind you, do not leave God out of the mix. He should be first, and we should return to him at least 10%, our tithes, our first fruits. And really, as God's people, we should do that regardless of any promises made in Scripture of what we're going to get back. But anybody that has had a giving habit and a giving pattern in their life, they will assure you, these passages I just brought up to you across the Old Testament, they are consistent still today. God will honor and God will bless. Abel was commended for giving the first and the best, his firstborn. We would do well to follow in the example of this man of faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And financially, yes. But not just financially. Financially is easy. Doesn't mean we should overlook it, but it doesn't mean we should stop there by any means. What other resources have you been entrusted with? What other resources has God placed in your life that God has given you to be responsible with? Money's just one thing. It should be a thing to be considered, but there are more things. What about your time? Oh, don't go there, preacher. I'll give my money, but don't ask me to take time out of my day. I mean, even before we get to talking about service, what about your time with God? How are you going to prioritize differently in 2024? Might I suggest that you give to God the first fruits of your day? That you make a sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice, by simply waking up a little earlier and dedicating 10, 20, 30 more minutes to spending some time in God's Word, connecting with Him, giving to Him the first fruits of your day, praying over our prayer list. Pray for the things you need that day. We talked beginning of this year about P-A-R. You praise God. You ask for what you need that day. Give us this day our daily bread. And you repent. You ask for forgiveness as well during that time and your morning time. But of course, we're not going to stop there. What about increasing your time in service, in ministry, helping at the church, helping others? saw a few memes go around during this Christmas season. They're like, if you want to keep Christ in Christmas, then serve more. Care for people more. Reach out for the hurting. If you really want to keep Christ in Christmas, then do it with action. What skills or talents do you have that you are not using for God's kingdom that you should be? You use them for a lot of other things, but not for God's kingdom, and that needs to change. That needs to change if you want to live as a person of faith. Because people of faith, they put God first. People of faith give their best, their first fruits, their firstborn. If God's kingdom is important to you, and as a child of God, it very well should be. As someone who is bought by the very blood of God's only Son, his kingdom should be very important to you. So what are the first fruits of the various resources that you have been given, that you've been trusted with, that you can give? We've all been given different resources, but just like Cain and Abel, different resources don't mean that you have a disadvantage to giving. You can give out of whatever you have. And as long as what you're giving is your best and your first, then God will honor that. Your talents, your gifts, your money, your physical resources, your time, your mental energy, your emotional energy. What are you going to bring to the Lord in 2024? How are you going to make a more acceptable sacrifice than you did in 2023? See, I believe that the list in Hebrews was a start. Hebrews 11 didn't say the end. Hebrews 11 showed us, here's what it looks like from the beginning, Abel. And you get Abraham and Moses and all these men and women of old and how they were commended for their faith. But I look at Hebrews 11 as a dot, dot, dot as we go into Hebrews 12. So throw off everything that entangles you. And run the race, just like Jim was talking about. It's up to us to continue the list of Hebrews 11 to be men and women of faith today. That list doesn't end in God's eyes. But that we continue it by giving our best, by giving our first of all the resources that we have, that we've been trusted with. How often do we ask ourselves, why hasn't God honored my personal sacrifice? Maybe because it's been an offering. And that's where I said it can be deceptive. Because there's a difference between bringing an offering and bringing your best. And no one else might know. But God knows. Is it possible that we've been sacrificing like Cain and expecting the response that God gave Abel? And you need to wrestle with that as we turn to a new year and spend some time talking with God and wrestling with him over that. What is the best I can offer in 2024? What is the first fruits? What are the first fruits of my resources? And then the third question, very simply, what is the right thing for me to do in 2024? What is the right thing for me to do in 2024? See, Abel was obedient. Our God has always been very clear about his expectations throughout the Bible. He's been very clear. Here's what I expect. Here's what it looks like to fall short. Here's what it looks like to succeed. There's no gray. It's here's win, here's lose. So I have to assume that God had given guidelines to this sacrificial offering to Cain and Abel. That would have been very unfair of him and very unlike God's character. Are we to believe that they came up with this idea of a sacrificial offering on their own? The first people on earth with no example prior? That, coupled with all of the rest of the history we have of God very clearly sharing expectations with his people, Old Testament and New Testament, I believe it's very believable that God defined that part of their relationship. You are the created, you are my people, I'm your God, and you will bring a sacrifice, an offering to me as a regular part of this relationship. And in God's conversation with Cain, we see a little bit of this understanding that this might have been understood going into it, because God says in verse 7, if you do well, what? How would he know what's right and wrong if it weren't spelled out for him? But if you do well, if you do the right thing, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. So it does seem that there was some set standard that God had given to them, and that there was obedience and there was disobedience, that Abel had obeyed and that Cain had disobeyed. If you would have done the right thing, Cain, wouldn't you have been accepted? Then you'd have no reason to be angry. But as it is, if you don't do the right thing, not only didn't do the right thing, but he's also looking forward to what Cain is going to do with his anger. God says, sin is crouching at your door. There was a right and a wrong way to go about this offering. Abel chose the right way. Cain chose to do things the wrong way. And Cain's offering fell short of God's expectation. So how was your 2023 journey of faith as we reflect on the end of the year? Did you give your best? Did you go all in with your faith? Or did you fall short? Did you just give something instead of your best? Did you just give an instead of your first? The great thing about this number change, and really it's just another day, but there is something, I think, that messes with our minds a little bit when you say all three numbers, when you see the year, month, and day change from 12, 31, 23 to 1, 1, 24. It's a little bit of a reset in our brains. And I think it's a great opportunity to say, I'm going to do things better this year. And what a better way to start than the very beginning, Genesis chapter 4, the first man of faith listed in Hebrews 11, and say, I want to make a more acceptable sacrifice this year. I want to be more responsible with what God has given me. We have the opportunity to make that decision any day of the year. But with this being a change of years, a change of months, a change of days, we get that extra incentive to say, well, what am I going to do different this year? How are we going to set our obedience compass in 2024? Is it going to be dead on, or is it going to be slightly off? Because that matters. In this story, it mattered. Cain didn't totally rebel. He didn't say, psh, forget this sacrifice thing. I'm eating all my fruit, you know. All this salad's mine. No one's getting any of it. No, he brought an offering. He brought a sacrifice. But it was slightly off. And that matters. Because slightly off is still what? Off. Off is off. If it's slightly or not so slightly, if God says, here's what you do, and we have an example of 39, 30, 800, we have instructions in 14 to 1500, we have observations from wisdom literature in Proverbs from about 950, And then God himself speaking through the prophet Malachi in the 1430s. And all the New Testament that we see and all the experiences that we see in our life and around us. That on, is off, is off. So we're going to set our obedience compasses to 100% on. And that's a challenge. These are some of these verses in Scripture. They're tough to bring. But James, Paul, they make the same observations about being slightly off is off. James 4:17. Whoever knows the right thing, and you're here today, we're all reading the same scripture, we know the right thing. Whoever knows the right thing and fails to do it, for him it is what? Slightly off. Is off. If you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, you're not Abel anymore. You're Cain. And it's just that big of a difference. And it's a tough message to bring. It's not an easy Sunday. But man, if we're going to step it up, if we're going to turn it up, we need to look at these details and say, you know, I can't fool myself. I can't just bring an offering and think God's being honored by that. If he says you bring your best, you bring your first fruit, you bring 10% or more, and we bring 9, and we say, well, it's just slightly off. No, if you know the good you ought to do and you don't do it, for you, that's sin. That's strong. That's not just one place. Paul says it in chapter 14 of Romans. He says, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. So whatever you're not doing in faith, even if it's slightly off, off is still off. Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. After giving a few examples of faith in Hebrews 11, and we'll come back, we'll be venturing back to Hebrews 11, one very pivotal passage or scripture in Hebrews 11. We'll also be coming back to Hebrews 11, 6. Because in Hebrews 11, 6, after a couple of examples, the Hebrews writer says this. He says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. Cain and Abel, we see it. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So that's connected. Not just in Proverbs, not just in Malachi, but right here. Hebrews writer says, this still happens. So what is the more acceptable sacrifice that you can make this year? What is the best you can offer in 2024? What are the first fruits of your resources in 2024? What is the right thing to do? What is the obedient thing? What is the action of belief and faith? What if we as God's people really believed that God would honor and reward our straight up obedience and faith? Fully obedient, faith focused behavior. How does that affect your decisions in 2024? You know, speaking of God noticing and recognizing and rewarding our righteous acts, as we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, where he talks about Abel. Look at the first and second. I've divided this verse into three parts for our dissecting of it this morning. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. We've talked about that. Through which he was commended by God, or commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. So let's write this down. God notices and recognizes, and I should add to that, and rewards. God notices, recognizes, and rewards your righteous acts. God saw Abel's more acceptable sacrifice, and he was commended for it. He was commended by God as righteous. because Abel's offering was acceptable. A little later in the, or a little earlier rather, in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 6, the Hebrews writer says this. He says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and love that you've shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do." Hebrews writer says, God doesn't overlook that. He sees it. He notices. He's not going to overlook your work and your love and your service in his name to other people. God sees your righteous acts. He will not overlook them. Your righteous acts are noted by God, and just like Abel and the others listed in Hebrews 11, your acts of faith are commendable by God. According to the Holy Spirit, through the Hebrews writer, this dates all the way back to Abel, that God was commending men and women of faith for their righteous acts. All the way back to Abel, and to those who the Hebrews writer was writing to in the first century church. And we have no reason to believe that it stopped there, that it continues on to this day. God noticed, recognized, and rewarded acts of faith. That's very important. So it feels like quite a drop. We're going to come way up to the surface. And it just feels wrong to not list something that's an obvious. And just, it feels good to do the right thing. Let's write that down. We got all this depth. God's going to reward, and it's all serious and stuff. Let's just move to the simple side of it. Just feels good. Feels good to do the right thing. And please understand that the order of the note that you took, it doesn't say, if it feels good, it is the right thing. No, that's not, that's hippie talk, okay? So sin feels good, doesn't it? Otherwise, it wouldn't be alluring. But it's not do everything that makes you feel good, but the opposite side, or not the opposite, but a rearranging there of the words, that if we're doing the right thing, that feels good. And we see this, the inverse side of it in our text today when we look at Genesis 4 again. Cain, for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. God had no regard for his offering. So Cain was very angry. Cain did not feel good. So it's the opposite. He didn't do the right thing. He felt bad. His face fell. But we know, and I just want to remind you, when you choose the right thing, even though it's tough, even though it's a sacrifice, and it should be, it feels good. That's worth writing down and being reminded of. You know, God will always see the things we do, and he will reward. Unfortunately, let's write this down. Unfortunately, others don't always respond positively to righteous acts. In Matthew 23 and in Luke 11, as Jesus is pronouncing the woes to the scribes and the Pharisees, among those woes, Jesus lists that Abel was the first of those who were killed as a result of persecution of acts of righteousness, acts of faith, that Abel was the first. That you can trace through the pages of biblical history, and you can see that that is unfortunately common, that those who are less righteous will attack those who are more righteous. And in Cain's story, we see, we're told that he was angry because of Abel's sacrifice. He was angry because Abel's sacrifice was accepted and his was not. I'm sure some of that was angry at himself, but as we watch the story progress, we know that Cain takes Abel's life. So he takes it out on his brother. That's textbook jealousy. When we're not giving and doing what we should, boy, it opens the door for something that's very dangerous. Obviously dangerous in this story in Genesis chapter 4. How dangerous is it for us? Cain projected his personal guilt with aggression towards Abel, who was totally undeserving, an innocent man in this story. And Jesus says, just like Cain and Abel, speaking to the Pharisees and the scribes, you guys persecute people who are doing good things. You have been all the time. So let me remind you of that, because that doesn't feel good for sure. People won't always recognize your righteous acts. And in fact, sometimes you will be persecuted for doing the right thing, for doing the good thing. And that can be very discouraging, to be on the receiving side of someone else's jealousy or someone else's projection of their self-disappointment on you. But let me encourage you this morning, don't be swayed. Stay strong, stay the course, keep acting out in righteous, obedient behavior. Keep walking by faith with your God, with your allegiance to God. Paul says in Galatians, he says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God?" It's a good question for us today. People won't always reward your righteous choices, but God will. Whose approval are you looking for? "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So you won't always get encouragement from people. We should. We should encourage each other. And knowing that's a fact, we should be even more aware of the need for encouragement among each other. But even so, let me encourage you to set your sights higher, to live to please God. Let's return one last time to Hebrews 11:4, and we're going to get that last part of this verse. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." I think that's an important thing to note. Let's write this down. Your sacrifice for God today creates a faith legacy for the future. Who's watching you? You don't always know. You don't always know whose eyes are watching you, whose life that you are making an impact on by your acts of faith or by your acts of disobedience. By being 100% on or being slightly off, who's being influenced by that? What kind of legacy are you living? What kind of legacy are you leaving? There are people whose faith that you don't even know that their faith is going to be encouraged by your obedience this year. You won't know if you're disobedient, that's for sure. But you might not even know when you're obedient. But let me share with you, people are watching you. And your choices can go a long way. Your choice of obedience, to not be slightly off, but to be fully on, can inspire someone else to do the same thing. Can help someone have the courage to make the same level sacrifice. So who are you going to inspire with your faith this year? Your sacrifice for God today creates a faith legacy for the future. It could be family members. If you still have children living in your house, grandchildren that you're spending a lot of time with, well, I guarantee you they're watching. And your example speaks more than words. And they see it. Could be fellow church members, people you don't even know who look up to you as a man or a woman of faith. And you being slightly off might encourage them. Oh, it's okay to be slightly off. But if you're 100% on, that might encourage them to say, you know what? I need to step up myself. I look up to that man. I look up to that woman. And that's how they're living. It could be a friend. It could be a neighbor. It could be a coworker, a schoolmate. There's a good chance it's all of the above. So what kind of faith legacy are you going to leave? And you're never going to know if you choose the way Cain did. So let me encourage you to choose to do well with your year coming up. Decide to do what's right now and make the more acceptable sacrifice and be consistent with that. Whatever that means for you, what is God calling you to? Listen for his voice. He will lead. He will give instructions. He will lay something on your heart. He'll speak through his Holy Spirit inside of you. He'll speak through his word. But then it's on you to decide to be faithful, to decide to be obedient, to decide to be willing to give the more acceptable sacrifice. So what does that look for you this year? What's the best you can offer? What are the first fruits of your resources? We all have different resources, but we all have the same ability to give the best and to give our first and to do the right thing. And it feels good to do the right thing. And even though some might not honor it, we are told in Scripture over and over and over and over again, God will honor your first fruits. He will honor your best. He will see and he will reward. Don't forget that. As we follow in the foundation of these foundational footsteps in faith, and we are men and women of faith as we turn the calendar tonight, pray with me. Father, thank you for all of these men and women that we're going to be looking at in Hebrews 11 over the next 11 weeks. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be challenging, no doubt. Help us to be encouraged. Help us not to shrink back, but to be men and women of faith who live by faith, not by sight. Father, that we put you first and that our dedication, our devotion to you is second. Nothing is in your place. It's second to none. Father, I ask that you help us to understand how seriously you take our faith and our obedience, and that we would not just be people who bring an offering, but people who bring their best. Help us to do that. Help us to recognize what that means for us in our life as individuals. And then give us the courage to step out in faith and to be obedient and worship you as living sacrifices. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.